What's up, world? How we doing? How we living? Undeniable Perception, episode 168. Brother from the same month.
We're here, man.
We're here. What were you saying?
Fucking 168. Here, man.
Street Fighter Alpha Take. What are you
Super talking? Ultra. They made so many of them, right?
Because of the part. I just remember Alpha version 5 from PlayStation 2, I think it was. Or
so there was like Street Fighter, then Street Fighter 2.
And Alpha
3000. And then they started making all the other Alpha, like super max speed, and they became like really hyper sped up, right?
Yeah, yeah. I always fucking hated Street Fighter because I sucked in it.
No matter really? What, I always loved it, man.
No matter what. Like Mortal Kombat was different.
That was more
like
your jam?
That algorithm or that engineer. I was able to figure that game out, and I was fucking pretty good.
Were you more Tekken or Street Fighter?
Oh, easily. All of them were Street. The only thing I liked about Street Fighter were the characters. The characters were dope. I fucking loved Guile. I thought Guile was the dopest cat. Yeah, but I fucking sucked in that game, bro. And then they had to bring up Charlie and take Guile out, and I was just like, nah, bro. Who the fuck is this Charlie guy?
The Tekken to me was always like that foreign land I never knew nothing about that I was always scared of.
Really?
It seemed so foreign to me, Tekken.
Yoshimitsu was my fucking guy.
Like,
it was,
they were like cube-like, right? Like, they were kind of
that
more like
PlayStation
cube-like.
One, yeah. Yeah.
With and Jin their moves, and all that. Were their moves cool?
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like Street Fighter, but it was, the gameplay was different. I think it was a little faster.
Did they have, like, fireballs and shit, too? Tekken? Or was it mostly just all hand-to-hand combat?
I think a few of them had it, from what I remember, yeah. Like my boy Yoshimitsu, he would use a sword.
What did that guy look like?
He was a robot. He was like a
like
a fucking alien robot.
When I went up north, right to Oregon, and it was just me and my boy. He doesn't have like any games right on his PS4 because I think it's been a while. He hardly plays it. I was like, man, why don't you fucking go to the PS store? Fucking, we'll buy some games.
Yeah, yeah.
And just fucking fuck around, right? But when we were looking on at the online store, because he's never bought a game that way, he's like, dude, there's just a fucking game. Like,
that guy
looks fucking dope. He's all gold.
Yeah.
No, there's like a fucking game trader up here. So he went
over
there. Really? Yeah, and it was fucking massive. So he picked up three games.
PS4 or 5?
PS4. So it was the PS4.
Okay.
So we picked up some fighting game. I even forgot what it was called, bro. I fucking forgot what it was called. Need for Speed. And
the racing game.
Yeah, but it only turned out to be one player, bro.
A little Subaru.
So we couldn't even play that shit. Yeah.
Sarabia Subaru.
He's all, I'll do one race, you do another. I was like, get the fuck out of here, man. None of that shit, bro. So we did we played this fighting game, bro, and we played that nonstop. But it was bizarre, bro, because this fighting game, it was like because the guy behind the counter, because he was complete Oregon style. He was like kind of androgynous, nice guy, like piercings everywhere, very thin, talk like this, black hair / purple, also with glasses, all this shit. And Johnny's like, yeah, there's like guys, all this.
What were his pronouns?
I don't know, man, but I'm sure he had them all. But he was a cool guy, and he suggested that game. He's like, I love the soundtrack. I love the soundtrack of this game,
that
too.
That hair would have turned
And we're like,
all
right,
dog.
Fuck it. But the game, dude, it was like one of those fighting games where they all have individual, obviously, weapons, but you don't know exactly what you're doing, and it could max out, and you could do a special move, and you know how it breaks into like a separate sequence when you bust like a special
move?
Yeah,
yeah, I remember those.
Certain game, but it was pretty cool, but I was fucking him up until he landed on this robot guy, and I could never fucking beat him. It was almost like a Sangief.
It was a Soul Calibur?
It was like a Sangief almost. Like, it was just, he just got close and he just fucked you up. Some robot, I couldn't fucking do anything to him, bro. I couldn't figure it out. I tried every fucking, I beat him like
did
this, once.
Did Johnny have internet in his PlayStation 4 or like the PlayStation store? Because y'all could have just went through the PlayStation store.
We went through the store.
Bought a game there.
We went through the store and we couldn't find anything that good on the PS store.
Oh, through this? Really?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why you went to that store, and he probably likes more hard copies anyways. Like, I prefer hard copies too, even though I've been buying more like online shit.
You should have took your little Super Nintendo.
No, I should have just taken some PS4 games. But he hates FIFA, he hates all that shit because he sucks on that.
Oh, the soccer game.
And that's my bread and butter, even though I'm playing it forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it feels bad when I smoke people in those games.
I miss the FIFA 96 controllers when Triangle was turbo. and circle would shoot, because that's where I would thrive, because I would always held the controller really fucking weird.
You could still do that. You just change the buttons.
Yeah, like...
It's called configuration, bro.
Yeah, that's true. Because then they moved it to
R1. We got to get some games going here, dude. We got to play some once in a while, man.
Sure, I own one, but it's...
But you hate FIFA,
it's my son's.
You hate FIFA, huh?
I don't hate it. I can't hate on anything that's
I remember
true,
you were having a little run with that years ago.
With FIFA?
Yeah, until I was like, oh, I figured it out. Then I was like, oh, that's all right.
Well, I just hit turbo. That's it.
But fucking... but dude, like, I hadn't played in a long time. And years ago, I was at this house. And I let's play some FIFA. I was like, all right. I felt so bad.
It
was
you destroyed him?
Some dude. It was like 8-0. And his friends were like, oh, man, don't feel bad. Just keep smoking them. But I've been so long that I had played, but I could probably never play it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
that
I was like,
funny.
I would fucking suck on this, dude. Like that when dude, when I was playing a lot, I would have marathons because when I was dating someone, I would play with a brother all the time. And it would just be, I was Italy and he was Brazil constantly. Yeah. Or it was Barcelona and he was Real Madrid. It was nonstop. And that's when I thought I was at my best, right? Like I was like, oh. So I was like, oh, let me try this online game once, right?
You're playing a bunch of mine.
I was like, I can't fucking play this shit. And then one person I ran into, I was beating them. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to get my first win. And then out of nowhere, in the last 10 minutes, all he kept doing was shooting from midfield because there was some fucking glitch. And I was so fucking pissed.
And he beat you?
Yeah, because he ended up scoring from midfield. There was some glitch he kept doing.
Oh, man.
Fucking piece of shit.
I remember when I scored on Julian with the goalie, bro.
Is that when you came Stoneface?
I tore him up, bro.
Is that because
I would always score with the goalie, bro?
You'd always take it out, huh?
I'd always take that bitch out, solidify the victory, bro.
Dude, is that when you came Stoneface, or was that another game?
No, that was Stoneface. Yeah, he was just like, fuck, like I couldn't even stop the goalie, bro.
He's all shit. So what's been happening with you, man? What's going on?
No, same old fatherhood, best hood, prepping for the. The eclipse, April 8th, this
Monday.
Oh,
hell yeah.
No, we ain't gonna see shit. That shit's not gonna pass Cali. But it's funny because, like, there's a lot of states that's prepping where they're getting, like, security and all that. And people are freaking out, like, oh, shit, what the fuck is gonna happen? But I think they're just anticipating, like, an overpopulation of, like, specific states. And there's probably gonna be, like, a lot of traffic because there's gonna be probably... A lot of travelers going to specific states so they could get, like, the perfect view of it. Because it's, like, once in a lifetime.
How long is it supposed to last?
I think it's only, like, 5 minutes, bro. Okay.
But it's supposed to be completely
dark, right?
Pitch black
for, like, 5 minutes. Yeah.
And what time is it supposed to happen?
It depends on your zone. So Mexico might be different from Texas because it's traveling that way. Mexico to Texas to...
I know I've seen some posts here and there of how you can see it, what you're supposed to do, how to use your phone and all this other shit.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to live stream someone on TikTok or something that's doing it in
But I'll just
area.
Check this weekend and see how I can see it.
Yeah.
But you said it might not even come through. We may not be seeing California?
Yeah, no, it's not going to run through there, I guess. From what I've seen from the map. It's weird. I don't know. I can't explain it.
We all see the sun.
Well, the Earth's flat. You don't see it everywhere.
The Earth is flat. You had to control Kyrie.
Kyrie. Like flat like our moon and our sun.
Kyrie. Fucking A, man. So I was like, I've been watching that Beatles documentary, Get Back, that came out a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, I haven't seen this. Let me fucking see it. It's on Disney, right? And the guy who made Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson, he's the one that I had, guess had the rights or was the ability to do the documentary because they had hours, hours, hours of footage. And the documentary is just during that time.
How do you get that clearance, bro? That's a random-ass person.
Well, probably maybe Disney owns it or someone
King
owns.
King Kong?
So I don't know. I didn't get it going to the background.
We should have got the guy that did Fahrenheit 9/11.
But he has all the technology to be able to enhance the audio to do all that stuff, you know. But but I think after I see it, I'll look into how they were able to get all the rights. But it only takes place in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
So it's them going in there to start messing around with songs. And the whole point of it in the beginning was that they were going to film a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to record some songs, but they wanted to do it live in front of an audience and make that their album. So that was their intention. We're going to make some new songs. We're going to perform in front of a group of people and make it live. Right, and it's crazy because you're just like in there with them while they're chatting it up of everything, and they're in a studio.
they're in this, like, a film studio, mm-hmm. and they got to get one studio to practice and rehearse, come with the songs. But then you have the manager and the director, and they're like, oh, no, they don't have a manager at that point because the manager had died, and they were just managing themselves. But they had, like, people with ideas like, oh, where should we film it? Where do you guys want to do this this concert at? And they were saying, like, another country, and some of the Beatles were like, no, we don't want to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. We should just tell someone randomly or do it in a boat. So they're kicking all these different ideas, right? But it's just getting to see how they all interact with each other. Dude, and they're all just chill.
Yeah, they all go way back, right?
Yeah, and they're all just fucking chill, dude. They're just all talking.
I'm sorry? They're from London, right? Or what part of
Liverpool.
England?
Liverpool, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
I'm not sure if Ringo Starr was from there, though, because he joined the band later. But I know all three of them, you know, John, Paul, and
George
from Liverpool. So they, but then you get to see, like, the way they work, man, and the way they're talking, and also what they're all going to at the point of time. John is there with Yoko the whole time. You know, yeah, Yoko's just there because they're just in love with each other. She wants to spend every time with each other. Paul McCartney will bring his wife around, Linda. And then the first episode.
The one with the leg?
No.
That took the dough?
I think that was later. That was later.
God damn, Paul. I got some bad taste in females.
And then George was there with Hare Krishnas. Like, they're all, like, somewhere, you know, sitting there, you know, bald with their with their robe. Not robe, but whatever. Like, their, I don't know what to call that. You know, like their sheath or whatever.
Yeah, feeling like a sheik with it.
And then and Ringo's just kind of like, blah, blah, you know? But it's just wild, man, because they're just like, oh, it was just fiddling with this yesterday. And they're like, bah, 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 don't let me down. And they're like, just fucking around with tracks have become amazing hits. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they could just shit out songs. You know Effortless. What I mean? It's wild, dude. Like, and then Paul's like, oh, let's do this. And then you see them tinkering, they're like, let's do this. But the whole thing, man, like, their sense of humor, that's the one thing I've always liked about the Beatles, which I think most or the best artists in any type of thing is because they have great sense of humor. They're just fucking around the whole time, talking shit or whatever. But as I can get off this train, anyways, they George quits the band.
Right then and there.
But he does it in a way where it's like, is he just fucking around? Because I guess he was getting tired of the arrangements, like, you know, like, you know, Paul and George were kind of Paul and
John
were kind of running shit. And then George asked me, like, if that's how you want to play it, I'll play how you want me to play it. Right? And then at one point, he's like, all right, guys, well, I think I'm done. Leave me the band. They're like, okay. They're like, all right. See you guys out on the gigs. See you guys out in the pubs. That was it. That's how he quit the band. Just like that. Like, it was nothing.
And then he came back.
So they're like, all right. And they're just kind of like ignoring it. Like, almost like they couldn't believe what happened. But they're like, well, I think he quit. And they're like, yeah, well, maybe we should talk to him. All right. And they're like, yeah, I think something real serious happened. Yeah, and I think we're just avoiding it. Like, so then they went to his pad like a day later. But you just see the outside of his house. And then like the description is like, it did not go well. And he left. He like left the band. He had quit the band.
And he
went
to
Liverpool.
Shit.
And then they're like, and they're still discussing, well, I guess what are we going to do now? We have a bigger problem. And then John Lennon's like, well, if he doesn't join the band again, then we'll just get Eric Clapton.
That's tough.
So he was like saying that, right?
That's
but then,
tough.
But, you know, they're John. All talking. But then like a few days later, like, you know, let's go talk to him again. And they called him. And they're like, he's gone to Liverpool. He went back home. He said he's supposed to be back Wednesday. So like, okay, well, let's talk to him then. So now they're pushing out all the different dates because they were supposed to get it done by the end of the month, and they had written like 4 songs.
That's what you do to get.
And
their
then they're
attention.
Like, okay, so
good
let's
job, George,
let's push this out another week, another month, or whatever. And anyways, when they go back to talk to him, it goes well, and then he rejoins the band because they were like, and then but you, there was a point where Paul and John had a private conversation, and without them knowing, there was a mic hidden in the area where they were at. And you hear their entire conversation that we're talking about. And it was wild because you get an insight of what they were saying. Like, Paul's like, well, you know, we do this, we do that. And you, and then John's like, well, you're the one, Paul, that always has to arrange it. You end up doing stuff that I don't like, but not to get you mad. I just go along with it. And they're kind of just like hashing shit out.
Yeah, they're just fucking.
And it's one thing, like, Paul was so in that mindset where he would come in and he'd get annoyed because people weren't working on shit. So, John, did you write any new songs? So, no, not yesterday. And he's like, you could tell Paul's getting annoyed. He's like, And he was like saying stuff like, well, you know, we can't go aimlessly in this world. You know, yeah. You got to make a go every day. Like, he was so orientated, man. But but then they would just bust out laughing too. And then, but that's where I'm at right now.
Oh, nice.
But it's fucking dope, dude. Nice, it's just man. To see that shit, man. Because you see, like, oh, I was fucking with this track. And then George Harrison showed up with another track. And like, fuck, man.
George Harrison, I was like,
is I wrote this song last night after I was watching this documentary. My, oh my. And it was like, dude, what the fuck, dude?
George Harrison
just
said,
brilliant
the,
shit, bro.
Fuck the big two. It's just
fucking
big
brilliant
meme,
shit, dude. Yeah. Do you remember that Family Guy episode about the Beatles? It was just a little skit. They showed. To this day, I remember vividly. It's like Paul and John talking. And George's like, I wrote a song. And Paul and John are like, oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah, George, just check it out. Oh, it's real cute. Real cute. We'll put that in the fridge here for you, right? Thanks, buddy.
That's funny. And then Ringo.
No, Ringo, you know, he doesn't write the songs and shit.
Yeah. That's fucking funny, bro.
But yeah, man, it's fucking sick, though, man.
Fucking Beatles, dog. Long live John Lennon, bro. So only homeboys alive, huh? Just Paul McCartney
and Ringo.
Huh?
Yeah, it's up. John and George.
The clone, right? The Paul McCartney clone?
Who?
Didn't they say, like, Paul McCartney died, like, before the Beatles got famous and they replaced them?
Don't they say that about everybody?
Or they said that there
no,
was...
No, I never heard that before.
Or did they say that there was, like a fifth Beatle?
Well, yeah, they said there was a fifth Beatle.
And he was black, right? Didn't they say that?
No, I don't know. But do you imagine being that fucking drummer that was with them?
So they
from the beginning? Left. No, they fired him.
Oh, wow.
They had their manager fire him.
So damn.
Someone that thugged it out with him, and like he doesn't have the sound for years, bro. And then when they got signed with the contract, they told the manager, "No, you're gonna fire him."
Yeah.
And he fired him, and they got Ringo.
I don't even damn, know. Damn. I hope him, homeboy got royalties.
Well, that was before they even recorded. That was before they recorded the first album.
That sucks, bro.
I think. I mean, I'm not a Beatles like fucking
connoisseur
historian. You know, like other people, but I just know they let that guy go. I think his name was Stanley? Paul? No, Paul Stanley is a guy from the fucking...
That fucking sucks, bro.
Paul Stanley's a guy from fucking Kiss.
Dude, are you going to watch the... Oh, you are going to watch it. I'm going to watch it too. The Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight?
Yeah, for sure. When is it?
It is going to be in July, I think.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going to watch it.
July 20th, Cowboy Stadium. Cowboy Gang Stadium. But it's an exhibition fight.
They're all considered exhibitions.
Because
I
it's
think.
Not sanctioned because I think Mike Tyson's age.
Because his age, yeah.
But the thing that sucks is the rules behind it, bro.
What is it? What are the rules? You know?
You got to wear, from what I remember seeing, they got to wear 16-ounce gloves.
Okay, 16-ounce gloves.
Instead of 10-ounce gloves.
All right.
They're two-minute rounds.
Okay.
Instead of 3 minutes.
All right.
And then it's only 10 rounds, and you can't lose unless you get knocked out.
Well, you know what? At least it's 10 rounds. And honestly, don't you just want to watch
minutes?
Them? I mean, honestly, as a spectator, I just want to see them throw down because they want to do it.
Yeah,
so I don't care what rules they put on there in terms of as long as it's still boxing.
Man, I want smaller gloves. Like, I don't feel like those punches are going to hurt.
Doesn't it hurt a little bit more?
10 to 16?
In a sense, because it's extra weight.
I don't know.
It just protects your bones.
I don't know. That's a big jump. 6 ounces?
I think if you get hit right, you're still going to...
Like, if it's 12, then yeah, okay. That could do some, but 16?
But it's there to protect Mike Tyson a little bit more, I'm guessing.
I don't think he needs to be protected.
Well, his age, man.
I think that motherfucker still got it.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know why.
Oh, no, well, dude, because that guy's a fucking monster.
He's
a fucking
animal.
One of the greatest. And when you see him train...
I hope he knocks him the fuck out, but I think it's just going to...
It'll be tough because, I mean, he's
a
lot slower.
It's going to be a draw.
So you could only lose if you don't get up from the countdown?
Yeah, if you get knocked the fuck out.
Okay, but if you get up, you just lose that round. So then,
you just
if it goes to decision, they
no,
just call it
no
a fight?
Judges. Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of cool, man.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just watching is a spectator thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just an event.
Like, yeah, let's just check it out.
It's an event. So it'd be cool seeing Mike Tyson, like all the kids are going to be able to watch. Because I don't remember watching Mike Tyson live growing up. So
well,
like, this will be my moment watching.
Maybe
him
you
run.
Did when you were young. You don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't think we really saw those fights. Like my dad was more Mexican fights.
I saw them for sure.
I didn't because I was only like six.
But
seven
it was like
years
invitation
old.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I was only like 6 years old, so
yeah.
I wasn't getting invited anymore. But yeah, man, I remember when the Holyfield Tyson promo happened, and I really wanted to fucking watch it so bad, but I didn't get to watch it.
Yeah, we probably didn't order it. We didn't do anything.
That's when he bit his ear. Yeah, man.
Fucking, speaking of Iron Mike, man, I saw a movie yesterday that he was on.
Hangover?
No, it's called Asphalt City.
Asphalt City. Okay, so it's about knocking people out.
No, it's like it's called Asphalt City, I guess, because it's based in New York, and it's about paramedics. Okay. I don't want to go see it because Sean Penn's in it.
Okay.
Movie's whatever, dude.
Low budget?
Not a high budget, but it doesn't look low budget. But it's not a high budget because nothing crazy happens. You know, it's not like explosions.
He doesn't do big films, huh, anymore? He hasn't done any big films in a while, huh?
Not really,
man. What was his last big film, Mystic River?
No, I think there's someone that came after that. Which probably one? Like that one where he plays the fucking the gangster and it's a corrupt LA. Oh,
dude, that's Mickey who? Mickey Mouse?
Mickey who? Mickey Mouse. Yeah, it wasn't very
Ryan
good either.
Ryan Gosling?
Right.
The Gangsters or whatever?
Yeah,
or
yeah. Was it The Gangster? Something Gangster, yeah.
He had the fucking worst fake nose.
It was
ever,
awful makeup,
bro.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that was probably when he was like, I'm never working for a fucking corporation.
But you know, that's fucking my boy. He's my favorite actor. But yeah, he does other shit, bro. He's not really.
Well, he's never really done main movies, and if I think about
not
it.
Not huge budget stuff.
Yeah, no blockbusters.
Right, right, right. Like, he fucking.
He's like an actor's actor.
Yeah, but then he made a movie not too long ago that I didn't like very much. He directed, but it was like a vehicle for his daughter almost.
Yeah, remember you telling me. It was
called
terrible.
Flag Day. Yeah, I don't like it either.
It's like Robert Rodriguez. He shit the bed with those Spy. After Spy Kids 1, bro.
Yeah, but see, but Robert Rodriguez got involved with other stuff, though. I mean, he started a fucking television channel, you know, a cable channel.
He
runs
ran
his
the
shit.
Sci-fi channel.
Yeah, it's called El Rey.
Oh, El Rey. He bought the Sci-Fi channel, right?
No, Sci-Fi channel still around.
Oh, so it's just
His own thing.
El Rey
Network. He's more like he runs other shit, you know. And he's more involved with technology and stuff. But yeah, in terms of like just pure filmmaker, yeah, he gave that up, I think, in terms of like pushing the envelope the way he started, right? With fucking Desperado and Mariachi from Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah, Sin City.
Fucking there's bangers, bro.
There's like a theory out there that Quentin Tarantino's last film might be like all the genres. Like it'd be like a Hollywood studio and like each section of the movie is him directing a specific film. And then supposedly he might get like guest directors. So it'd be dope as fuck if he got like, because it's supposed to be his 10th and final film. So it'd be dope if he got like Robert Rodriguez to direct the part. Because I forgot that Tarantino directed a part in Sin City. I completely forgot. He did the part with Clive Owen and Benicio Del Toro on the car when Benicio
Del
Toro
was
headless.
Oh, he did a scene. That's right.
That's his scene. Yeah. I know that because I revisited a couple weeks
that's
ago
a good
on Mercy.
Reminder, dude.
And I was like, oh shit, what part did Quentin Tarantino direct? Because it had special directors. And then I looked it up and it was that part. Johnny Boy.
Also Four Rooms, he did one.
Yeah, one. Yeah, so all of that. So
Robert Rodriguez did another.
Who are the other two?
Robert Rodriguez, I forget what the other two are. Then, I never remembered. Well, I just never knew.
Right, I don't think we know.
And then later
they
on, they did that other movie together, Death Proof and fucking.
Yeah, The Public, or not Public.
It was it was called Grindhouse.
The chick with the leg.
Planet Terror.
And Rose McGowan. Exactly. Rose McGowan. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what fucking drove her
crazy.
So
there you go. See, they both have been in a lot of shit together. He needs to bring them back.
I think they left the guild a long time ago, like the Directors Guild, and just did their own shit.
Okay.
And
he wrote From Dust Till Dawn.
Tarantino wrote From Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah, man. So
yeah, they're fucking pals, man. Fucking the one thing about the thing about Tarantino that I hear about his last film, I doubt it, dude. I think he's just gonna direct it on his own because it's his last film. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I know about it, it's gonna be about a film critic.
There you go. That okay.
Yeah. So then that he's gonna be able to play around with so much shit with that.
Yeah. So he could do all of it. So he could encompass his Tarantino world in a sense, I hope.
Right. Because about the film critic, basically about him, you know, like film lover, man.
Yeah, man.
That's gonna be fucking exciting, dude.
So that'll be solid next year, hopefully, if it drops.
Oh, who knows, man? That's the last one, so maybe some time.
It's gonna be a minute, huh? And then I'll probably come back 5 years later, 10 years later to.
Well, he seems pretty fucking strong in that he's not gonna do any more. That this is his last one.
Nah, he's gonna have that age.
And he's probably just gonna keep writing novels. Because
Scorsese's 80.
Yeah, but he's never said I'm gonna stop. He wants to do it till he dies.
Tarantino's what, 60?
Tarantino? Nah, I'd say maybe.
He has to be. He can't be in his 50s, bro. He has to be longer than that.
Yeah, I think 60 is a good call. I don't know why I want to say like 58.
He's 61.
Good call. And then yeah. Scorsese is what, 80? 81?
Shit, bro. His eyebrows are 80.
He's the greatest man. Don't you ever disrespect him.
This motherfucker Scorsese is 81, 20 years older.
20 years older, man.
Damn, bro. That's wild. November 17th. Robert De Niro, man, he just had a kid the other day, bro.
Yeah.
Fucking, he should have named his son Theo Vaughn, bro.
Why? Oh, because his dad? Because
how old was Theo Vaughn's dad when he was
he was old, bro. He was in his 60s, I think.
Yeah, this motherfucker 80, dog. He's way older. Also, I saw a picture of him holding him. I'm like, God damn. Hopefully that boy got some good genes, dude. Hopefully he ain't old as fuck.
De Niro's still pumping away, man. Because the wife is young, or the lady's young, or whatever, I imagine. Or in her 40s.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's not like, I mean, she's not that. He's not fucking married to an older woman his age. I mean, God forbid, he's not going to do that, you know?
Oh, no, yeah. Senior was like, oh, no, she's 40 years old,
you know? Yeah, imagine, dude.
Yeah, so you really did the cut your age in half and add 7, huh? So that's what all the old people would tell me, all the successful people.
Freaking, I heard there's this joke in the movie that for some reason I thought it was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell it to you, see what you think. So it's like in Halloween, and like this 7-year-old kid is dressed as a pirate.
Okay.
So he knocks at the door and an old lady opens up. She's like, oh, what are you supposed to be? So I'm a pirate. She's like, well, you're a pirate, well, where are your buccaneers? So my buccaneers? They're under my fucking hat, you fucking bitch.
That's fucking hilarious.
Bro, so fucking dumb.
I think they had a baby with like a person having their baby because.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Is that what it was?
Surrogate? I'm assuming because, bro, his girlfriend is 65, dog.
Oh, yeah. Then, yeah, they had a surrogate then.
She's a Hong Kong film producer. Her name's Tiffany Chen. You ever heard of her?
No, but I saw her next to him in the awards.
That's his broad. I thought he was with a black chick, or he was married to a black chick.
Oh, that's all he had before.
Yeah, he had two. He had two bodies right there.
Yeah, he's definitely had quite a few. Grace Hightower and
Deanne Abbott.
Yeah, there's some. I forgot a long time ago a story that I heard, I think, in Howard Stern. Before, you know, like porn stars became super popular, like they started getting popular.
Mm-hmm.
I think Howard Stern had a big key in that. One was saying that, oh, yeah, that she used to hook up with De Niro all the time.
I don't know who it was.
Yeah, some black chick.
That's funny. Lisa Ann, was that her name?
No, nah, isn't that an old white lady?
She's white. She was in
some old white lady?
She was in the Superman video with Eminem.
Oh, I think. Was that's that her? Right.
No, that I wasn't think her. So. That was a different porn star. I don't know. I don't watch porn anymore.
Dude, so you know how that that show, the Three Body Problem?
Yes.
From Netflix? Have you checked it out at all?
It was terrible?
No, not terrible. I just didn't care for it too much.
I gotta watch it, bro. You said it was really bad.
But I'm also reading the books. Well, hearing the books, I should say. No, not really bad. I just didn't care for it, you know? It's just a difficult show to make. I just didn't think it was very good.
Netflix, not for Three my Body thing. Problem. I'll probably
but
watch
if
we can
look at it from an objective way, man, it's so difficult to put together. I think they got their point across. You know, good special effects. But because I love the story, the book, like, the way they're doing it differently because you have to make a cinematic. You know, you form new characters or you place some kid together and, you know, to create, to push forward the story, to be able to tell it. And also to an American audience, right? So it's different. You know, I didn't enjoy it very much.
Got it.
But I read the story, man, yesterday that...
About the show?
No, about the IP itself, the intellectual property. So... The guy who bought the rights to the book, he was poisoned.
Okay.
So he was killed by
who?
One of the business partners, a lawyer.
That makes sense.
Fucking because okay, so I guess
what did he get poisoned with.
I didn't.
He probably hit fentanyl.
He got something from another country. So like this guy who bought the rights to it, he had a company. I think he was like he created video games, all the shit. He was a young billionaire.
Yeah,
I think in his 30s or 40s. And then he had this guy run like the risk department for the company, this lawyer. And I guess they must have had a falling out or something because this guy was supposed to be, he was in charge first of securing the rights to Three Body Problem. And I think he was supposed to spearhead some other stuff, but they had some falling out. And this guy, I guess, planned it all out for a long time. got these poisonous shit from another country, took some time, put it together in pieces, I guess, or whatever. I don't know the details exactly. And I think it was fed through him through a drink or something. Because so other people in the company had it, but they survived. They all got a taste of it or whatever.
So he put like a specific dosage.
Yeah, however it was. But that makes sense. But the guy died. He got killed. And yeah, he's in prison. But I just read the story yesterday.
How'd they find out?
I think it's a toxicology report. And then they went into a thorough investigation. So the guy, the young billionaire, his name is Lin Zhi, QI. And the guy that killed him was Zhu Yao, XU, and then YAO. Wow, shit, man.
Imagine
you have the world by the balls, bro. You're early 40s, billionaire.
Oh, for sure.
According to the reports, this guy was a great guy, you know, young. Businessman, fucking gamer, created all this shit. I forgot what this company was called, but it's, I think, Japanese or China. I forget.
That fucking sucks, bro.
Yeah, dude, this fucking guy was... No.
Can't trust a lawyer, bro.
Fucking took his time, bro. Premeditated. Got the drug. It wasn't like this overnight thing, man.
He bumped. Yeah, he tried truly one. Like, oh, he premeditated
truly,
murder.
He's like, oh, this guy truly disrespected me, and I'm going to kill him.
That's some fucked up shit. And I'm going to do it a different type of way.
Dude, that's some wild shit, man. Luckily, nobody else died.
Hit him with the Japanese fentanyl, dude. That's fucked up.
That's some wild shit, dude.
Yeah. I'm gonna hit you with a question.
What's up?
Or I'm going to hit you with what Cat Williams kept hitting Joe Rogan with every time they kept saying that's crazy or that's wild. There's nothing wild about it.
Yeah.
If you look at history, that's been happening forever. So it's not really wild.
Oh, it isn't, man.
It's not crazy.
It's just throwaway words.
Filler words. Right. We're so conditioned to say that. Huh?
Absolutely. We're conditioned to say that.
That's plus, wild.
Because me and you were just having a conversation, you know? Like, weird. That's weird. Not really.
Not really. No, not really. It's been happening since
weird. It's weird that you have some fucking... If you have a calculator going out of your head, that'd be weird.
Yeah, something like that.
Some shit like that, dude. But other than that, the fucking... do you know what? I was watching some shit yesterday. You know what I realized, man? In a lot of scripted stuff...
You know, you're talking about sports? What are you talking about?
Well, it depends which sport you're talking about.
Go ahead. Sorry.
The wrestling. Absolutely. Fucking... the real heroes, man, are hikers.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Right? Because they're the ones that always find the body. They're always the ones that run into the body, right?
Yeah.
It's always like, so someone gets drops in the creek or something. Like, oh, how'd you guys find it? Well, this hiker was running out this morning, and they called it in. They saw it.
Sheesh.
It's always the fucking hikers. If it wasn't for hikers, there'd be all these fucking bodies we wouldn't know about, huh?
It's like, we got cameras everywhere. Like, how do you not find these bodies immediately? Like, I don't get it.
Well, it's not cameras everywhere.
I think
we not in rural areas, everywhere. Not in woods. Not in the ocean.
Isn't there supposedly like a camera in the air, in the space, a satellite?
Satellites. But I think it's like through the satellite, I don't know how that worked. Like you could focus on a place in real time.
Okay.
I don't think it's a thing where like, hey, go to this time and give me back the last 10 months of this area. It's not you can go that from the past.
Like for me, I can't wrap my head around a fucking big-ass airplane going missing. I can never wrap my head around. How do you guys not find an airplane missing?
The ocean is vast, bro.
That or you hit a different portal? I don't fucking know.
That to me is more unbelievable.
Yeah.
Than a fucking rational explanation that it will fall in the ocean, man.
The deep blue sea.
Yeah, man. But yeah, they're like fucking a portal. What would that be like?
Like a wormhole? Isn't there like a group called HARP or some shit like that in a different country? That like creates like wormholes and shit.
So I don't know. You tell me about SERP it. I don't never read about like any about that.
My boy was telling me about that, but I gotta fucking look more into it.
HARP.
Not HARP, my bad. I think it's SERP or it's a four letter word, bro.
It's an acronym, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's an acronym. And like Elon Musk has gone on record saying, like, yo, what they're doing is not good. They're a company based in Switzerland, from what I remember.
Okay.
Company in Switzerland. Let me see what it says. Yeah, I'm not fucking sure, bro.
Yeah, I don't know, man, but that's some wild shit, man. If like, how do you fucking build a wormhole and shit?
Yeah, bro, they like pierce the fucking sky and shit, dude. Some crazy shit.
Dude, that's some wild shit, man.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Bro, so I was going to tell you.
What's up?
Why do you feel, or why are we conditioned to have a negative bias?
Can you be a little more specific? Yeah, like, what do you, like an example? What do you mean?
I feel like we all have like a fragment of being a little negative, a negatively biased towards things or things that are unknown or things that are different or spontaneous things. We might be a little negative, but how come we attach the first initial thought of something like that in a negative way? Like what came with it? Was it like just life beating us up? Was it just like,
if I have to, you know, give my best like assumption or what I think it's because fear is very strong, and I think our brains tend to take a fear approach because we how can I put it? We connect fear with us protecting our livelihood. And even though that may be flawed, mm-hmm. I think that if we fear something, we're like, oh, we're going to preserve ourselves. So I think because our mind goes to that, that's where the negativity comes from, right? So if I'm listening to your question correctly, I think if you say something like, for example, if you say like, you throw the idea of like wormholes, and I'm immediately like, nah, man. Mm-hmm. Like if you see that, can that be seen as negative? Or is it like kind of like, maybe that's not negative. It's just like, I find it unmanaged. Or in a way you could see like that's negative. You're mm-hmm. immediately mm-hmm. dismissing it, right? But I think the negativity, what's behind it is probably fear. That's why I think.
Okay, okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's probably like having expectations, because sometimes I feel like we assume that our expectations should dictate our happiness. So I don't feel like happiness is made up of like, oh, if I get 100 likes on this picture or if I hit a PR at the gym, I'm going to be happy. So I think when we attach numbers or expectations with things, I feel that, and we don't attain them or acquire them or come close to them, I feel like that turns into like a negative bias.
Yeah, but see, I think you're talking about more now like intention. I thought you meant more just as like a response.
Why are we like, because I think everyone has a negative bias. I think we all have it innate, but I feel like I want to remove it, but I don't know if it's possible or if anyone's capable of doing it.
Well, I think it's not something one should remove, you know, because if you don't have a negative idea of something, then how can a positive idea exist? You know, a positive idea can't exist if negative didn't exist.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. So there's no good without evil. There's no peace without war.
Yeah, because if there was no evil, because if there was no evil, what would be good?
Absolutely.
What would it be known as? It would just be. It would just
gooder.
Be, you know, it would just be. It'd be is. You know, that's okay. What it is. So I think also, like, I think the negative is bad if that dictates your actions.
Okay.
You know, I think the understanding of it. And knowing, like, well, maybe my mind goes to that, or why am I seeing it that way? And understanding that, and then, but not letting that dictate what you do, but instead using that to be like, no, I just, like, I'm seeing it that way, but I'm not going to respond to it that way. I'm still going to do what I want to do.
Okay.
But, yeah, but when you're talking about something else, I think, more. You're talking about expectations, right? Like, with, like, when you
that's
say,
where
like,
I think, a, that's where I think our negative bias stems from. Because I attach expectations to
what do you mean by negative bias? The bias thing is throwing me off.
Negative bias is just the way you respond in a negative way with anything.
Okay.
Because I feel like sometimes, like, I might respond negatively and I would be like, why am I feeling like this? It's because I attach, like, a expectation to it.
Okay.
You know, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're expecting something, then you could only... Yeah, you have an expectation of something, right? And if it doesn't come out the way you want it to, then obviously there's going to be some kind of letdown.
No, absolutely.
Right? But also it's like, well, then is the problem the results, or was the problem in an unrealistic expectation? You know, is that when you have to take a step back and be like, well, what's the why do I have such an high expectation of something like that? Is it realistic? Am I lying to myself? You know, because I mean, there could also be an expectation of bad, you know, like you expect someone to fuck up, right? And you may have that.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, man. Yeah, because it was cool. I was, I've never really been on TikTok, but like TikTok has like lives. And
I'm sorry?
Lives, like people going live. And I was listening to just like a guru. And he was kind of like my boy Grant that was on the podcast, because, you know, he does hypnosis, and I could immediately hear how he would talk with his voice and how he would deliver his message. Like,
right.
It would kind of like put you in a moment where you would listen to everything he would say. And he was just talking about negative bias, and I just thought it was a cool conversation of what he was saying and like why we feel that way. And then he was just diving into it's because it's the unknown, you know, it comes from the unknown, and we always attach the unknown. We always assume that the unknown is an enemy. And then within that, right, it traps us in the vacant predictions of the mind. And then he just goes on to saying, like, we need to move more towards optimism in a sense, and that the unknown isn't just the enemy, that it's a place of bountiful treasures for the betterment, not the detriment of people.
Yeah, that's why I think it's all, like, what's behind it is fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because if it's something that's unknown...
It's fearful.
You know, it's fearful. Like, well, what is it? Is it everything that I know? Is it incorrect? Have I been living, like, a lie? Have I not, you know, what someone else is telling me is the truth? Opposes what? Not have to challenge myself and all that. And some people don't want to be open to that. Right? Mm-hmm. And it could be like, whatever. But I think understanding that behind it is fear, then it's the thing that you need to understand that what combats fear? Love.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing excerpts of that book, Letting Go, which that's something I should read, because I don't know what his name is. His name, Michael Singer? I forget who wrote it, but it's a really like...
Michael Singer sounds like the guy that did Untethered Soul, unless I'm tripping.
It could be that, but this, I forgot who wrote Letting Go. I forgot which doctor
I'm a
wrote.
Fucking beast. Untethered. I fucking...
Now put in...
You need to read Untethered Soul, my brother. That book's...
No, I want to read Letting Go, but put in Letting Go. I forget which doctor. Is it Dr. Hawking? I think.
Yeah, my boy David R. Hawkins. He's the one I read Power vs. Force.
Okay.
He's the one that created the map of consciousness. So.
This book is supposed to be one of the great books because he talks about, he's the one that talks about fear and love and how we connect fear with the preservation of our life. But that's incorrect, because we could also do that with love. Because it's love, like you love your lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to do things out of fear so you don't lose her? Or are you going to do things because, oh, I love her?
Yeah.
What is going to be better? What is actually going to build the relationship? Right? The love. Like, I'm going to help with the dish because I love her. I'm not going to help the dish because you're going to get pissed at me.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing it because, oh, I want to do it because I help her. So that's the same thing with that. So I keep hearing great things about that book, so that's probably something I should pick up.
No, that's dope. And David R. Hawkins, man, he's a... He's a great
writer.
Yeah, because
he loved that Power vs. Force book.
That book was fucking amazing. So
surprised you didn't read that one first.
I didn't even know he had this one. Because I was told to read
that one.
Yeah,
that one's about letting go of fear and I think negativity and all that.
The cover looks exactly like Power vs. Force, too. He loves that two-tone color wave, man.
Nice, man. These are just
David R. Hawkins.
Sticks to it, bro. That's the balance. That's the balance, bro, though. The dark and the light, man.
The art of letting go.
Well, hell yeah, bro. Now we have something fucking a book club, man.
Yeah, we should have a book club, bro.
And I'll fucking on that note, man. Take us out, baby.
Yeah, yay. Don't forget, leave with love. Be your biggest fan. Continue to add to your bag of progress. Brother from the same month.
Everybody stay up, up, up.